Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The wife of abducted journalist turned political activist Itai Dzamara says her family is distraught over his forced disappearance. She has a message for those holding a husband.
I want my husband back in one piece and alive.
Opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai adds his voice to Dzamara's forced disappearance, saying he knows who's behind the whole plot and why.
We are in no doubt as the perpetrators of this abduction. We hold President Mugabe and his regime responsible for this morbid and senseless act.
And the 57th session of the Commission on the Status of Women Conference continued in New York today, with delegates deliberating on the 20th anniversary of the Beijing Declaration, a UN provision that promised global gender equality.
Zimbabwean police say they are now investigating the alleged disappearance of pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted in Glenview yesterday. Dzamara, a respected journalist in Zimbabwe, is the principal organizer of the Occupy Africa Unity Square movement that started protests in October last year, calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down. The peaceful sit-in has been publicly demanding accountability and transparency from President Robert Mugabe's government for its failure to satisfy the needs of its people. Dzamara's wife, Shefra, reported her husband's alleged abduction at the Harare Central Police Station. Police spokesman Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba says police are now investigating Dzamara's alleged disappearance. She told Studio 7 that she did not have more information on the case at the time of going on air, but a docket has been opened under RRB number 2391750. Mrs. Dzamara tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that her husband has been under constant surveillance.
I saw two cars last week on Thursday in my neighborhood, Isuzu and White Hart Body, and I've taken the number plate. So on Monday, yesterday, my husband went to the barber shop to have his hair done, and five guys abducted him, saying he stole a cow somewhere.
But did he manage to identify any one of those who abducted him?
No, I haven't communicated with him. His phone is not getting through since yesterday.
We understand that you went to the police station today to report his alleged abduction. What did they tell you?
They just said we'll call you back when we have verified about the number plates of the cars.
And what is your appeal to those who might have abducted him?
I want my husband back in one piece and alive.
That was Shefra Dzamara, wife of abducted activist Itai Dzamara, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights has filed an urgent habeas corpus application to compel whoever is holding Dzamara to bring him before the courts so they can determine if he should really be in detention or not. Term habeas corpus is a legal term meaning that an accused person must be presented physically before the court with a statement demonstrating sufficient cause for arrest. Lawyer Zimbabwe Chimbwa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that they are waiting for the court to respond to their application.
The agent application has actually been filed with the High Court, and we are filing what is called the habeas corpus, which means it is compelling the state to either produce or at least tell us when Dzamara is, and that matter is awaiting sit down before the High Court.
What is the process here? Is it that the High Court we have to wait to hear from the police? Are there any timelines?
Yes, what happens is a matter of this agent. Once the matter has been filed and the police and other state agencies have been served, they will be asked to come. It depends the time that is given by the judge, but he has to deal with this expeditiously and potentially the threat to life. So he summoned the representatives of the state agencies to either produce the matter or at least explain his whereabouts.
So if someone is abducted, how long does it take for lawyers, for example, to demand action from the police?
Well, it's immediate. You know, there is, of course, a provision of when you're talking about a missing person, per se, where people talk of 48 hours. But in this case, there is evidence that he was actually abducted by a known person. So it really is a case of kidnap, and the obligation to act on the part of the lawyer as well as on the part of the state becomes immediate because potentially the threat to life. So we actually reported to the police yesterday, and the police and the nearest police station were disappeared in Glenora said there is no knowledge of this. And that's why we had to go this step further to use the court system to say to the police, please act immediately.
Lawyer Zimbabwe Chimbwa of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Adding his voice, opposition MDC leader and former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai today condemned Dzamara's alleged abduction and called for a full inquiry into his forced disappearance. Thomas Siripasi has more details from Harare.
The MDC founding leader told a news conference at his party's Harvest House headquarters that the opposition party is dismayed by Dzamara's alleged abduction. Itai Dzamara is leader of the pressure group Occupy Africa Unity Square, or OAUS, that is calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to run the country democratically and pushing Zimbabwe's economy into the abyss. Mr. Tsvangirai charged that President Robert Mugabe's administration was responsible for the forced disappearance of the former journalist turned activist who was allegedly abducted by some five men driving a white Isuzu vehicle in the Glenview Hidensi suburb yesterday.
We are no doubt as the perpetrators of this abduction. We hold President Mugabe and his regime responsible for this morbid and senseless act. The president, who is also chairman of the AU, chairman of SADC, cannot preside over a country where innocent citizens get abducted and disappear. Only recently, the vice president of this country was saying he was trained to shoot to kill. And it is no wonder that with such reckless and misguided talk from the top leadership of the country, an innocent Zimbabwean is found murdered in every suspicious circumstance.
A member of the OAUS, Elvis Mugari, told Studio 7 that all members of the OAUS have been placed under state surveillance.
I'm really afraid as an individual, as a political activist too. Why? Because few months ago, on December, they abducted me when I was on my way from South Africa, and they tortured me, and they promised to come for all of us, one by one. I mean all the members of Occupy Africa Unity Square. They promised to do with us one by one. So I'm real afraid for my life. I'm real afraid for my safety. Well, I'm not on a suicidal mission, but we can't compromise our security. We really need protection, but I don't know where we can find protection because our life at the meantime is on danger.
Despite this, Shungu Zuze, who has participated in previous demonstrations led by Dzamara, said they are planning to stage more protests, demanding their leader's release.
We are going forward. Our measures we are going to take, I think we have to keep on fighting, going ahead with our protesting. I think tomorrow, if we have the numbers tomorrow, we are going to protest again, telling the state to bring him back.
Meanwhile, Mr. Tsvangirai called for a full investigation into Dzamara's alleged abduction.
We all know Dzamara has been leading public but constitutional protests against the government, for which he was previously been brutally attacked by state security agents. For us, there is no wonder as the identity of the people behind this abduction and disappearance. Zimbabweans should join us in demanding that the truth be revealed about what has happened to this innocent young man. We in the MDC demand nothing short of full investigation and immediate arrest of the perpetrators of this barbaric act.
Police spokesperson Cherit Charamba told Studio 7 that she had no details of the matter, although the activist's wife has filed a report to the authorities. Several opposition and civil society activists like Tondera Indira of the MDCT were abducted and killed in the run-up to the June 2008 presidential election runoff, but no one has been arrested or charged for the crimes. Rights activist Justina Mukoko was abducted from her house in Norton in December 2008 for allegedly using her NGO, the Zimbabwe Peace Project, to recruit youths for military training with the MDC. She was tortured and released 3 months later. Zamara's alleged abduction has brought the issue of forced disappearances back into the limelight, with many questioning whether the police are doing anything to try and locate him. Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi referred all the questions back to the police. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Meanwhile, pressure is mounting on the police to find Zamara. Zimbabweans took to Twitter, Facebook, and other social networks to condemn the alleged abduction. In Washington, D.C., the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights condemned what it said was the brazen daytime abduction of Zamara. The rights group said in a statement, quote, "This behavior by Zimbabwe's police and security forces is reprehensible. In an ideal world, President Mugabe, as chairman of the African Union, would set a good example for the rest of the region when it comes to human rights. Sadly, he has done the opposite," unquote.
Santiago A. Canton, executive director of RFK Partners for Human Rights, added that yesterday's abduction of Itai Zamara is the latest violation of Zimbabwe's new constitution, which guarantees the freedom from torture or cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment or punishment. The European Union's ambassador to Zimbabwe, Philippe Van Damme, told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the 28-member bloc is worried by the alleged abduction. Van Damme, though, said he is in Belgium. His team on the ground is trying to find out more about what's going on and more information about Zamara's case.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Coming up,
we take a close look at Zimbabwe's economy.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Ivory Coast's former First Lady Simeone Gbagbo has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in 2011 post-election violence.
Zambian President Edgar Lungu is going to South Africa for medical tests for two days after collapsing in public.
A suicide bomber driving a car packed with explosives attacked a police compound in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula early today, killing a civilian and wounding 24 policemen.
Zimbabwe's economy is expected to weaken further this year after growing by 3.1% in 2014, according to the International Monetary Fund. The IMF said this in a statement yesterday, while Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said Harare expects to clear its arrears to the fund in the next year. Harare forecasts growth this year of 3.2%, but weak commodity prices, a patch rainfall season and company closures and high interest rates are expected to curtail the economy's growth. Domenico Faniza, head of an IMF review team that has been in Harare for the past week, said growth has slowed down in Zimbabwe and we expect it to weaken further in 2015. He told journalists that Zimbabwe had met all its targets under the program despite difficult economic conditions.
Meanwhile, economists predict a subdued Zimbabwe International Trade Fair this year due to the depressed economic outlook. Trade fair officials are, however, optimistic that the country's biggest trade showcase will be bigger than last year's, despite the continuing closure of local companies and the country's lukewarm relations with the West. The fair, which will be officially opened by Zambian President Edgar Lungu, runs from 21st to 25th April. Economic commentator Eddie Cross, who is also the Economic Policy Coordinator General in the MDCT, tells Studio 7 he expects this year's exhibition to be the worst since independence.
Well, Zimbabwe is back in a full-blown economic crisis. In many ways, it's more severe than in 2008, strange as it may seem, because with the US dollar, there's no way we can retreat into things like money burning and so on. And people are having to cope with extremely difficult conditions. We've had 11 banks fail in the last 2 years following the elections in 2013. And generally speaking, I think people are finding it very difficult to make a living. And I think business conditions are very depressed. I hear that VAT collections are still going down another 5% in the first quarter of this year is likely, which means on top of 25% last year. And that indicates a decline in overall consumer spending, which points to a decline in the GDP. So I think conditions are very, very difficult. And I think, too, investment conditions are very bad. There's no improvement in the rule of law. Security of assets is still a huge problem. Indigenization remains a confused and erratic policy. So I think it's going to be a very, very difficult, very difficult year for the trade fair.
In the last couple of years, we have seen the economy declining, but on the other hand, the exhibits are going up, according to the trade fair officials. Are we likely to see the same scenario, or we are going to see a slightly smaller trade fair?
Well, they've got the additional problem this year that they changed the dates of the trade fair at the last minute. Even for a couple of weeks, it makes a huge difference to exhibitors, because if you're a foreign exhibitor and you've been planning your schedule for a year, including the supply of equipment for display and so on, you can't change your plans at short notice. You can't move people around. So I see real, real problems with the change in the dates. And for that reason alone, I would expect a reduction in certainly international participation. But when it comes to local participation, Zimbabwe is a major trading nation. We're still importing $500 million worth of goods a month from South Africa. And we must be one of South Africa's biggest trading partners anywhere. And for that reason alone, South African firms will exhibit here and exhibit quite strongly.
The new Zambian president, Mr. Edgar Lungu, is expected to officiate at the trade fair for the official opening. What do you make of the officials who are asked to officially open the trade fair when we look at their backgrounds, the countries where they're coming from, the social and economic status of those countries?
Yeah, I think, Mugabe supported SATA very, very much. In fact, he provided much of the finance which was needed to get him elected. He was elected by a very narrow margin. Lunga as well. Lunga was elected by the narrowest of margins, say 1 or 1.5% of the total vote. And he is deeply, deeply committed and dependent on support from Mugabe, both financial and political. And so I'm not at all surprised that he'd been invited here. I think that's a logical thing. He might also be the reason why the trade fair was delayed, because he might not have been able to fit in his schedule with the schedule here. It's either him or Mugabe's schedule which has caused the delay, but I'm not sure which. But I suspect that it would have been pressure from the presidency which caused the delay in the dates of the trade fair.
And that was Eddie Cross, an economic commentator who's also the policy coordinator general in the opposition MDCT. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
The 57th session of the Commission on the Status of Women Conference continued in New York today, with delegates deliberating on the 20th anniversary of the Beijing Declaration, a UN provision that promised global gender equality. Participants bemoaned the lack of implementation of some of the resolutions agreed on at the Beijing Women's Conference, though some notable changes were also applauded as the number of women in decision-making positions the world over has increased. The conference is running under the theme Elimination and Prevention of All Forms of Violence Against Women and Girls. The program officer for Gender and Peace at Musasa Project, Nyasha Mazango, who is attending the conference, says most governments, including Zimbabwe, told the meeting that lack of resources has hampered their progress in implementing some of the Beijing conference resolutions in their home countries.
The major issues coming out are that there's lack of implementation of the recommendations that were made 20 years later after Beijing agreement. So we see that everyone is not giving an excuse but highlighting that even though they are now police frameworks, they are legal frameworks that are within the recommendations that were made 20 years ago, there is still no substance on the ground of implementing those policies and legal frameworks. So the issue remains, especially the governments that are present, are talking about lack of resources. And civil society is also saying there is lack of political commitment from the government. It's not only that there are no resources, because we know there are some resources that are being prioritized. And the issues about women's rights and girls' rights are always put at the end of countries' budgets. So these issues are coming out as if there is lack of political commitment from those who are supposed to be implementing the policies.
On this delegation, you have some representatives from the government. What has been their stance when such issues come up?
The delegation is agreeing with civil society and with everyone else that there is lack of implementation. But as always has been the case, even when we are still in Zimbabwe, government was saying there are no resources. So they remain saying that they are open to implementation, but if there are no resources, there is nothing that they can do. On the issue of prioritizing, they always say it all depends on the resources. So that issue of lack of resources is overriding all other issues that you want to talk about. But all the same, there are going to be discussions around economic empowerment, discussions around the commitment to action by different governments. There are also going to be discussions about women's rights, prevalence of gender-based violence 20 years after Beijing, partnership for girls' education. All those issues go around the government's commitment that it should also incorporate such issues in its budgeting.
That was Musasa Project Program Officer for Gender and Peace, Nyasha Mazango, on the line from New York with Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye.
The abduction and disappearance of journalist-turned-political activist Itai Dzamara yesterday might mean one thing for the youth who are already keeping a distance from politics: more apathy. In a discussion on Studio 7's Youth Forum, The Connection, recently, some young people cited fear as the factor driving them away from politics. And analysts say the Dzamara incident just entrenches that fear. But MDC Ncube youth leader Decent Bajila tells reporter Ntungamili Nkomo Dzamara's abduction should inspire other youths to press hard for their rights.
We find his abduction very unfortunate. Secondly, we want to condemn the activities of state authorities abducted him, because he had expressed his wishes. It does not take anyone to agree or disagree with him, but we have to acknowledge that he had said something that is in the subsoil of his heart, and was involved in mobilization of more Zimbabweans to take a position similar to which was in his mind, and he was doing very well in that regard. It is on those points that we want to condemn in strongest terms the state operatives for that abduction. These events that are happening today are a bad sign of the country that we live in today, a country that says people are no longer allowed to express their opinions that differ, a country that while we speak of democracy, we are still saying there are certain opinions that should not be heard, particularly in relation to the seat of the president in power.
Given this incident, Mr. Bajila, how do you convince other young people to continue fighting for their rights, fighting to be heard?
The young people should be encouraged by the kind of activism that Samara was bringing into the play. What also must be understood around the abduction of Samara is that it is easy to arrest and abduct Samara as a person, but it's not easy to arrest the ideas that Samara was having. What is also important for young people at this juncture is to learn that it's easy to arrest Samara if it is Samara alone, or if it is Samara and a few others agitating for the Occupy Africa Unity Square until Mugabe calls. But if it was thousands, if it was millions of young people engaged in this thing, clearly there will be insufficient prisons, there will be insufficient hideouts, there will be insufficient places to abduct people onto. And therefore, this must be a call for young people to say, let us all get involved, let us minimize the spaces for our persecution and detention.
In our sports segment, the start of Zimbabwe's Castle Lager Premier Soccer League has been delayed once again. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
Initially, the league program was supposed to have kicked off on March 7, but was postponed to March 15 to pave way for the Bob 91 Super Cup, in which Caps United, Dynamos and Highlanders were competing in a tournament marking President Robert Mugabe's 91st birthday. However, this will no longer be the case as the program is once again been postponed, now to March 22, to pave way, apparently, for the Zimbabwe National Army Charity Cup, which has been penciled for this coming weekend. Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Kenneth Nebele revealed the day for the start of the season, adding that they would love to have all the teams play on the same weekend. The Zimbabwe National Army Tournament will involve four teams, two from Harare and two from Bulawayo, but has raised concerns from other clubs who feel they are being given a raw deal in terms of participating in money-spinning competitions. Caps United will play Dynamos for the third time this year, while Highlanders will meet neighbours Haumain in the other semi-final at Baba Field Stadium. Ironically, Caps United met Dynamos last weekend, with Dynamos winning 1-0, courtesy of a Ronald Chitio strike in the Bob 91 Super Cup. This was Chitio's first game for Dynamos, having been rumored to be moving to South Africa. Dynamos assistant coach Tondera Indiraya has high praise for the player.
We have Rooney, who has come into our ranks, and I think you saw what he did today. Out of nothing, he found a goal, which won us the match. But we still need cover for him.
Caps United coach Mark Harrison is excited by another prospect of facing Dynamos, saying he would want his team to win this time around.
Want to enter into every single game trying to win it. Doesn't matter if it's a friendly game, I want to win it.
However, former Caps United coach Gishon Tini thinks Dynamos have an edge over the Green Machine.
It's going to be very tough to predict, but I think Dynamos will win this one.
Zimbabwe National Army Charity Cup holders FC Platinum have been excused from the tournament as they will be in Tanzania for a CAF Confederation Cup assignment. FC Platinum hammered Caps United 6-1 in last year's final. In another sporting development, Zimbabwe will host the Euro Africa Zone Group 2 playoff against Moldova from April 17 to 19. This followed the team's 4-1 defeat at the hands of Bosnia Herzegovina, which left Zimbabwe with a tall order to retain their place in the Euro Africa Zone Group 2. The two teams will be forced to meet after Moldova also lost their tie at the weekend to Hungary.
Thanks, Michael. Now to recap today's top stories.
The wife of abducted journalist turned political activist Itai Dzamara says her family is distraught over his forced disappearance. She has a message that she's sending out to those holding a husband.
Opposition MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai adds his voice to Dzamara's forced disappearance.
And please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, The Connection, at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be discussing with experts and you listeners about youth in politics.
That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.